Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I'm not sure what just bloomed in the air, but my allergies have been so out of control. I so badly want to live the life where I can keep my doors open with this perfect spring weather, and I'm able to roll around in the grass outside with my littles and live a life without the gross congestion. But when my allergies are at their worst, I start having to compromise on life. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongests your nose so you can breathe better. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I love that Claritin has an option for non-drowsy relief of allergy symptoms. With Claritin D, you can still make the most of your day without compromise. This means that I can have my windows down car dance sessions with my boys and help with yard work without the symptoms of my allergies popping up out of nowhere. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Well, 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 Instagram and Facebook went down yesterday, which means that you literally don't know what's going on in this corner of the internet if you only follow us on Instagram and listen to the podcast. And that kind of terrifies me because there's so many fun things we want to fill you in on, whether it's our favorite things, spiritual things, like encouraging or just fun news that's going on around here. So it doesn't have to be that way, though. Sign up to receive our emails. I'll say it again. Sign up to receive our emails. They are so much fun. They're a blast and they'll keep you in the loop. And you can also get texts. You can sign up for both texts and emails by texting the word bestie, B-E-S-T-I-E, to the number 55444. Or you can visit the show notes in today's episode.
You were here. You prepare a table before me. My cup is overflowing. Is all your goodness and your mercy for me? All of my days, oh, oh, all of my days, oh,
The song that you're listening to right now is actually off of Ellie's new album that is releasing so soon to you, called All of My Days. And it is basically worship music, but better than that, it is not just her words. It is scripture that she has put to song. It is no new lyric. It is what we are given with truth from the Bible. She has just taken and put to rhythm and a melody. And it is so beautiful and blessing us too. Hey, if you have any littles in your life, if you're like me, perhaps that you just learn better through song. I can memorize song lyrics like no one's business. Give me some Tupac and I can get that rap down. But for some reason, I mean, it's just a mystery that sometimes burying truth in our heart through scripture can just be a bit trickier. And Ellie is setting that out to make it easier by giving us a melody to sing with it. And that's catchy for me. It's catchy for the littles in my life. And I'm praying that it's catchy for you and your littles in your life too. So I hope that y'all enjoy this little snippet. And Bigger, Better, the whole album is coming out so soon for you to listen to and stream on Spotify and anywhere that you listen to music. Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Real Talk with Rachel Autry. I am Rachel and here to host a conversation with none other than the Ellie Holcomb. If you don't know Ellie, she is a singer-songwriter married to Drew Holcomb. She is fabulous. Give her a guitar and she's going to swoon you away. She also is just delightful to have a conversation with. And if you listen to today's episode, you will know exactly why. So much so, this is her third time being with us. And we have a lot of fun things to cheer her on and champion her for. But I felt, this is going to sound wild, I just felt the spirit say to relinquish all of my questions I had for her, to give this conversation room to breathe and space for her to speak what was true and what she knows to be true about who God is and what he's doing in her life. And y'all, Miss Ellie delivered with Jesus. There are some powerful words. Giving Ellie just some space just to talk and lean in and give her wisdom is a gift. It's a gift. And so you are about to be blessed beyond measure. Just hearing about what God's doing with her in her life, in her season, where she needs help more than she's ever needed help before. What does it look like for her to go to Jesus, even when she's at her lowest low, at the final parts of her physically, when she even has lost her voice right before going on stage for a show? She talks all about the truth of what she knows to be true about who God is and shares that with us today. It's going to wreck you in the best way. You are going to leave feeling so uplifted with so many practicals, things that you can start right now. And it's just two girls trying to figure out life right alongside you with me and Ellie. So without further ado, here is my friend, Ellie Holcomb. It's good to have you again.
It's good to be here again. Yeah. You look great.
Oh,
you're awesome, Mike.
Isn't it cute? I can't remember last time you were with me, were you on Behind the Bliss or Real Talk? I'm trying to remember. I think it was before we rebranded.
Yeah, I think it might have been before.
Yeah, I think so. So this mic flag that my cutie producers got me is new. It's new to you.
It's really good. I love it.
Thanks. Doing this in my home, it just was so unpredictable. And then you add two kids and you add a dog and you add a husband. And it's like, this isn't honoring anybody.
It's not nothing. I've been on a like meditation anyway, adventure with God. And the other day I was in a really intense, you like enter in with your imagination into different scenes of scripture. And we are like, I mean, it's the passion. It's like where I'm like in the Sanhedrin, Jesus is in the garden. So it's like heavy. I'm weeping and literally I'm downstairs in our living room and it's like, we had had a leak, a plumber was coming in, but I was also on vocal rest. So I'm just like in the corner, like weeping and jerking and all of this chaos. And I was like,
this is it.
This is what it is. This is real life.
Emmanuel, God with us. Here we go, baby.
Oh, God with us.
Oh, man.
Broken.
That's right. Oh, well. It means the most that you would come and hang out with me again. I'm like, at this point, I call you friend.
I know. I love that.
Would be able to like hug you in person would be so fun. But you know what? This will do. I'll hang out with you via this podcast any day.
Yeah. I love that.
And we have a lot to celebrate for you. We'll get to all the fun things, I'm sure. But I just want to like tell our friends listening, you just won your fourth Dove Award for Recorded Children's Song of the Year.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Unbelievable.
It was a wild.
Ellie ever think this is kind of what life would be like?
Oh, no. It's funny because my dad is a producer. I don't know if I've talked about this. Yeah. So I grew up in the studios of Nashville, like literally on Music Row. His studio is there. And so I grew up singing background vocals. And getting to be so up close to seeing how powerful music could be to encourage people. I mean, sometimes you hear the right song at the right moment and it literally saves your life, you know?
Really, yeah.
So I grew up hearing stories like that, but I also grew up seeing kind of up close, like the cost of doing music. And I watched that be really hard on families a lot of times. And because of that, I am like 0% enamored with fame. Like I pray for famous people all the time. Cause I'm just like, I think based on what I've seen is that it is maybe one of the most lonely ways to exist in the world. people put you on a pedestal all the time. Anyway, so I had zero intentions. I swore I would never be a musician. I swore I would never marry a musician. And I always just say God has a sense of humor, because I also swore I would not marry my best guy friend from college, who all my friends were like, y'all should totally get together. And I was like, oh, it is not like that. And that's Drew Holcomb, the husband of 18 years.
There you go. I'm like, never say never. Justin Bieber has a song about that, you know?
Never say never. I just should listen to Biebs. He hadn't written that yet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So really, it was like your idea.
Yeah.
He wrote the song.
I lived it.
That's right. Cover to come, people. Cover of Never Say Never to come.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. You have so many fun things going on. And that's really, honestly, selfishly, not what I want to talk about. Like, I want to honor you for that, because there's so many cool things that are happening on career journey, with your faith, with your family. Part of me like wants to back up for a moment and ask a question that I normally ask at the end, but I want to ask it at the beginning, because I'm curious. What are you loving? You have to share with people that are listening right now.
What am I loving?
Yeah. Anything. It could be recipe, shameless plug, song.
Well, I'm loving spring today. It's been, it feels, I've been working on, which this isn't even any of the new fun things, but I think what the spring does for me, I'm a gardener.
Okay, yes.
And so we just had some help clearing out like the dead stuff of winter to make room for the new. And I think there is something about the spring where the trees that I'm looking out my window right now, but like the trees look dead. Like they just look like they're not good. And underneath the surface, so much is happening. Like underneath the surface of every tree that isn't in spring yet, it's rehearsing resurrection. Like, and so there is an energy in the spring, and a feeling that I think resonates with a lot of us. Like after a long winter, we know seasons of winter as being humans. And so for me, that longing for new life, that longing for beauty, the longing for rebirth, the longing for renewal, is embodied in the earth in spring. And I'm just so grateful every time it comes around. And it lands during when we celebrate Easter, which is also so beautiful.
So providential. I'm like, there's no such thing as coincidence. And whoever made up that calendar, I don't know if it was at the forefront of your mind, but thank you.
Thank you. That works out perfect. And then for me, March 3rd is March is a heavy month for a lot of different reasons. But March 3rd is the anniversary of the tornado that came through in 2020. Right before COVID, like the week before COVID. And it was the scariest night of my life. And so there, I remember in the devastation of like that storm, being so grateful that it was the spring too. And even trees that had been like uprooted by a tornado were still sprouting new leaves. Like, wild. It's like that was already set in place. And sort of in like this defiance of all the devastation that came with that storm, spring sings its song. And I'm so thankful. And so, and we've been in a heavy season personally, of just a lot of like loss, in our lives. And so I think, especially when you're walking through a heavy season, of just like seemingly senseless loss, like we lost my cousin's little girl at 9 passed from cancer, and it is just like, this is not how it is supposed to go. And I think what spring does is it just reminds me that even in like the ache of that winter, which will kind of never leave us, like we're gonna walk around like with a limp and with a hole in our hearts missing Bailey, but what spring does is it says this isn't the end of the story, and she's well. And one day all things will be well, and every tear will be wiped from every eye. And so I'm deeply grateful for the spring and loving it for a lot of reasons.
I feel like that puts such an answer to people that are like, I love spring. I don't know why. Maybe it's the sunshine. Maybe it's the warmth. Like maybe it's something deeper that your soul knows that your mind has yet to keep up with yet. And you just put words to, I think, a lot of our heart's desire for spring and life and newness.
Yeah.
And things to have a chance again is what spring feels like for me.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's like we get to do it again. And the sun does it every day, right? Like it keeps coming up. It's like there's new mercies. Begin again. I love there's this monk, and I can't remember who it is, so I'm sorry to the monk who this is.
Sorry, monk.
But like the practice of like repentance and making a mess of things, and they would do this practice of ringing a bell, and it's just and the sound of that bell would just signal begin again. And I'm just like, when I lose patience with my kids, when I lose patience with myself, and I think I'm the most unkind version of myself to myself. Like when I mess something up or I didn't do something the way that I wanted to, that it is wild how like unkind I can be to myself.
Girl, me too. Yes.
Moms too. You're just like, oh, yes. I did not do that. And I love this phrase. Like take a deep breath, ring a bell in your mind or actually, and begin again. And I love my friend, Jamie always says this, but she's like the best part of little kids. It's so exhausting. It's so beautiful. But like the best part is if you screw it up as a mom, you're going to get to try again in like 4 minutes. So it just, you're going to get to try it again. Just like right now, pretty much.
Right.
And so, there's a beauty to that too.
That's so good. It's so true. I feel like that is me in motherhood right now. Ooh. Maddox is almost 3, like in a week and a half, and so there is this like whole newness of him that I'm seeing and knowing and learning. I'm like, where did you hear that? Who told you that? Like all these fun conversations he can actually have with me now. But it's so funny. Yes, it's like he gets a reset in his mind. He just forgets. Or, you know, 12 minutes later, he'll remember again. I'm like, okay, great. But it's so cool, so humbling. And if we're called to be childlike in our faith, we have the opportunity to start again and again and again. What a cool little reflection of how our hearts were made too.
So, I love that so much.
Amen.
That I'm forgetting who all said all the wonderful things. And I'm watching a little bird. I think we've got a little nest over our gutter right now. I'm like, oh, that's fun. That's going to be loud in the mornings.
I love that right now for you, but not
at I know, right now. It's so sweet. But that there is an eternal childlikeness in God, that there's something like he could just set everything in motion and let it go, but he says to the daisy that blooms, do it again, do it again, do it again. And that kids are always like, again, again, again.
That's true.
It's such a gift.
Yeah, it is. Oh, so fun. It's something that I joke all the time with my friends. Anytime that I feel like you're coming on the show, I'm like, they're like, you know, what are y'all going to talk about? I'm like, that's a great question. I think I'm just going to sit back and just listen to Ellie talk the whole time. That's what I love to do. But I think there's something that's really poetic about what you're saying. And there's something that's really neat that for friends of mine, I feel like that come on the show and they have these things to say. And it's not necessarily about one certain project or it's not about one certain season, but it's just about what God's doing in their heart. Like, I think that there is this space that I love just to let breathe because, I mean, it's not about the projects. It's not about the circumstances. And it's not about the topics and the themes and like the list of questions sometimes people send me. I'm like, it's really about like what is the Holy Spirit doing today, right now, in this moment that I don't want to miss. And that's the privilege of being able to set up a microphone is just to be able to record it and
to capture it. Oh, I love
it. and then to share it and send it out. So I'm like, Ellie, there's room for this to breathe. If anything comes to your mind, it's for now.
Just you even saying that, and literally the fact that you just said there's room for this to breathe. So maybe this is something for a lot of moms out there. Maybe this is something that is prevalent in the South as a woman. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe it's just a human thing. But something that I'm realizing that I'm having that I have a very hard time doing, is receiving or asking for help.
Wow.
And it is a wild thing because that is so like when Jesus comes, he's like, I came for the sick, not for the healthy.
Yes.
And so I just am coming off of vocal rest of literally like my voice gave out 30
which
minutes.
Which I want to say, I am like, so, okay, sorry, pause, commercial break. Are you ready? Yes. We got an email between your people, Lori, and then my team, Emily. They've been kind of communicating for us, which is always so fun to hear people's like behind the scenes. That's what happens around here, friends listening. It takes a village.
It takes a village. You don't do it all.
No. But Emily sent me a screenshot of Lori's message and she was like, challenge accepted ? Because it was like, Ellie literally has 30 minutes and it's nothing personal. She's on vocal rest. And the first thing I thought was, oh, me? She gets 30 minutes like with me? You know, I was so honored because I was like, okay, I get it. You only have like a little bit, but that you would spend it with us means a lot. So I just wanted to like plug that. This is a big deal. People lean in.
I know it's so sweet. And I felt so grateful when Vandy Voice Clinic, my doctors like cleared me, you know, cause I was like, they were like, you may not talk, ma'am. And then thankfully prayers and everything. It's been so humbling. So I say all of this, it's hard for me to receive. So honored to be here. And sometimes I get to the end of myself and usually as a mom, it's like a physical end. It's just, it's like, you are so sick. You know, it's just like, I like carry all the things in my backpack. I carry all the kids' things and my husband and my friends. And I think as women, a beautiful way that God designed us is we carry things, not just children, like burdens of our sisters, of our brothers, of our moms and dads. Like, I think it is one way that he made us. And in the same breath, it is very hard for me to let anyone carry me. And I realized this whole journey of losing my voice, of being so sick on the road, and of just actually having to receive has been an unbelievably powerful and beautiful journey of like showing up raw with not a lot to give. And my voice went out. It was fine. During sound check. And then I did VIP
right before the show. I saw.
And I like could barely get sound out. Like, I'm not sure what happened. I coughed between then, had a little coughing fit, and I could not sing. But it was a sold out show. All these people had come from everywhere. And so Drew and I were like, I was just like panicking, you know, tears are starting. I'm like a little scared. I'm like, there's some fear there for sure. As a singer. But what we decided was, it was so close before the show, if we could at all do it, we could just come through the front door. Drew would carry me in my parts when I couldn't sing. Mm-hmm. And then we would invite the crowd to sing. And I don't think I have played a show that I've loved more than that night. And I could barely even do it. But we sang one of my songs, I Will Carry You. And I could barely like whisper speak it. And so what happened is Drew told me, he said, Ellie, you need to be prepared because what's happened is for whatever reason, God has seen it fit for our music to carry a lot of people and to sit with a lot of people as a companion.
Oh, Drew. That's
like so humbling. It will be one of the honors of our lives. And he said, but what I think you're going to get to experience tonight is the very song and music that has carried other people, you're going to hear them actually carry you while they're singing the same song.
I mean, and
I will never
like the get most over touching.
It is. Yeah. I will never get over it. And a couple of days before that, I was meditating on the scene where Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. He's in the upper room, the Last Supper. And I'm doing this like adventure with God where I'm meditating for and praying for an hour a day, entering in with my imagination. It's called the 19th Annotation. It has been one of the most significant experiences I've ever had with Jesus. And it's a 9-month, I'll finish in May. Cool. But as I entered into that scene, I identify with Peter a lot. And I'll kind of enter into the scene as Peter. And he is like, "Are you going to wash my feet, Lord? No, I'm going to wash your feet." Like, he is so resistant to that. And that resonates with me so much. Like, grace is kind of offensive. You're like, no, I want to be able to contribute. You know, like, I want to be able to give something. How can I serve you, God? Mm-hmm. And we had a day off, and as I was meditating on this, and there was like a cold plunge barrel, no ice was in it, so it wasn't too cold. But in this scene, I felt like God was like, go get in the water, like, stop journaling, stop whatever, like, let me wash your feet right now. And of course, like, Jesus isn't actually there in person, but I literally, so I stopped. I'm like, so awkward for me. I put my feet in this, like, whatever, cold plunge barrel that was only 70 degrees. It wasn't that cold, and it was kind of hot outside. We were down in Alabama. Put my feet in, and I just take a few deep breaths, and I just start sobbing. And I'm like, I do not let you pour into me a lot, Jesus. I always want to go pour out, which I think you love. I think you made my heart like yes. that. But he was like, keep going, like, get in. And I borrowed my nanny shorts. I was like, no, I'm wearing Maddie's shorts. Like, I can't, I don't even have a bathing suit. I was like, get in the water. And it was so sweet, Rachel, because as I got in that little barrel, it actually felt like so refreshing mm-hmm. and so good. And I felt like God said, breathe. And every time, as I just sat in that water, I wasn't doing anything. But every time I took a deep breath, what would happen is the water would spill over the edges. Mm-hmm. And I felt like what God was saying to me was, to the extent that you allow yourself to receive my love and my mercy and my grace, is the extent to which you will be able to pour out. And yes. I just
was, you're like, earth is so beautiful that he would like give us such imagery, like literal imagery. What?
And so I just, and so then I was like crying, and then I would go, and like the water would just
war go, would go over.
And so I was just, okay, I have nothing. I was so sick at that point on the road. It's terrible to be sick on the road. And he was just like, I've got you. And so that was the day before the Huntsville show. And so I felt like he, in the shadow of the valley of death, like in the places where you're like, I have nothing left. And this happens over and over and over again. It's like the mystery of the gospel to me. It's the mystery of the kingdom of God. I'm like, I got nothing, Lord. And he's like, watch this. That is the perfect place for you to be, because I have everything that you need and more. And so I guess I just say that to repeat the invitation, whether whoever you are listening today, like whether you are carrying the burdens of somebody else, whether you're in a grief season, whether you're in a season where you're just longing for things to change and they aren't, feels like the winter is lasting forever, whether you're in a season of maybe things are happening that you've longed to happen before and it feels so overwhelming to handle everything that God has put on your plate. Maybe you feel alone. I don't know what it is, but to know that God delights when we come to him, like come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I'm learning about myself that I'm so resistant to come. I'm like, no, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. And he's like, but first.
Oh, so good.
receive. So
two things come to my mind.
Yeah.
The first, and they're so timely. I'm like on the edge of weepiness. I think just because like when something is so repeated in your life, in your mind, on your heart, you can't help but just kind of be noticeful to what people would call coincidence. Mm. And I think it's a work that Lord's doing in my heart too, where I'm totally in a season of help, but except I don't have to ask for it because I think it's written across my forehead. I've said that on the podcast before. Like it looks like I'm holding a lot because I am, and I'm not hiding any of it. It's very much all out loud public what I'm holding, which is a gift because a lot of people enter without invitation. They don't wait for the invitation, which is, I'm so grateful. Two things come to my mind that I feel like have been repeated with this idea of coming to the end of yourself and then getting a chance to start again. Number one is the story in the Gospels where the disciples were sent out two by two. We're coming back. Jesus said, let's get on a boat. We're going to go to a desolate land. We're going to rest together. And when they show up, people had followed them and were hungry. And Jesus had compassion and was like, we got to feed them. What we got, guys? And they're like, nothing. We got nada. We got
brought us to the desolate land.
to rest. LOL. Right. And I can only imagine how exhausted they were after doing all of the mission work they just did, the ministry, the pouring in other people. The last thing they probably needed or wanted to do was to show up for 4,000 people and feed them. And it's so beautiful because in so many moments where I, quote unquote, y'all aren't watching, I have air quotes, feeding 4,000, like doing cool, miraculous things. And I had the energy to do it. It's easy to pat myself on the back, be like, look at what I just did. But the moments I have to show up empty, where I'm almost a bit frustrated that God's calling me to do something, because I'm like, you must not know how empty I am. He's like, oh, I do. And I need you to show up so you get a glimpse of me and you can't take the credit. And it is for my glory, not yours. And it is the most humbling place to be. That's number one. And number two, I think, and Elias is for you too, but like it's our turn for the mat. That so many times I get this picture of, especially in Sunday school, maybe it was taught this way to me, of the guy, the guy who's paralyzed, who had friends who tore a hole through the roof of the house to lower down a mat to be at the feet of Jesus so that their friend could get healed. Every time I heard the story, was reading through the story, the narrative in my mind was, who can I put on the mat? Like, which one of my friends can I bring to the feet of Jesus? Like, how can I use this? And I forget that mat is for me too.
Oh, that's so good.
I too need to be lowered. And it's okay to say, hey, my turn. Like I'm unwell. I need that too.
Yeah. And really, I don't know, when I look back on my story and the ways that I know that I've experienced God to be very real and present. It's the mat. It's where I was on the mat, you know, or like it's the lowest places in my story where I can say, I knew. And if we don't want to write it that way, like, right. Like you don't wish suffering on anybody. I'm a 7 on the Enneagram. I like try to, you know, move away from that. But when I look at Jesus, and when I follow him around, he is always, always moving to the lowest places, to the outskirts, to the untouchables, to the unlovables, to the messes, the people who, you know, people who are literally, they're like avoiding that part of town or avoiding that person. And Jesus moves right there. So I'm like, oh, it makes sense. Like,
yeah,
it makes sense. But something about, I don't know, the way I grew up or in the church, like I didn't know it was okay to not be okay. Like no one ever said that, but there's just this like social pressure. And I think of, you know, in a lot of ways, I talked about how I was 0% enamored with fame. Well, now, like everybody's on a stage. Like social media is like, literally a stage and a microphone for everyone. And that's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot
to be okay. And so I think to just like there's something in the breaking every time for me that has brought healing. And it's like the mat place where I'm like, fine. Half the time I don't feel like I willingly get on the mat. I have to be like pushed through the roof and I like
drop by to the mat. Yes.
Okay. I need your help. But man, there's healing, there's comfort, there's companionship.
Yes.
In that low place. And I'm
amen.
Yeah. It's backwards and upside down to me, but I'm grateful for it.
Okay. One more thought. So my friend Nick Connolly just wrote a book called Don't Give Up Just Yet. And it's incredible. It's all about this idea of persistence when you're facing resistance kind of thing. And he said something that was so profound. You talked earlier about how like we carry so much and eventually we feel the weight of it. And he said, you know, there's a difference between carrying and caring. And so often we get them, we think they're synonymous and they're so different. Like you can care for something without carrying that. And you can obligatory, like you can, you know, feel obligated to carry something that you really don't care about. And so just prayerfully discerning between the two and saying, you know, is this actually mine to carry, Lord? Like, is this actually for me? And you can still care after you've put it down, after carrying it. It might not be yours to carry in the first place. So just a word for somebody else out there that there's
so this.
And I think maybe you too, Ellie, from what I know and hear, is that it's easy for us to do that because we do care. We love people, like almost to detriment, right? We're like, oh, yes, selfless. But yeah, God's like, I need you to breathe so that you can overflow. And I love that imagery.
Yeah. Well, and then just even with what you're saying, like there is a, like maybe the best way that we could care for somebody is by carrying them to the foot of the cross. Like just even in prayer.
And then dropping them off.
And Phil calls it drop the kids off at the pool. Like it's like God has what everybody needs. Yeah, and like Jesus had that awareness, right? Like that he knew, you know, like fully man, but he's also like God has, he knows what every single person here needs. And so what a beautiful like practice. I think sometimes I want to fix it. I want to hold the thing up. And sometimes the story is like, it's coming down. Like, and so, but in the midst of that, I am here. There's nothing that goes lower than my love. And so beautiful, a beautiful reminder. As so often we're like the stalwarts, you know, holding everything up. It's like, it's okay. I mean, I think of Jesus, like I'll take down this temple in 3 days. I'll take down this temple that took years, generations to build and raise it again in 3 days. And it's like, this is like kingdom mentality. It doesn't compute in our brains, but there's a newness in a life even when things come down, you know, even at the grave. This isn't the end of the story.
Thank God it's not the end of the story. Okay, so at the beginning, you talked about a few things that you're loving. I have to share a few things that I'm loving because it is things that you're doing. Which is perfect, right? Perfect. So you should know that my almost 3-year-old Maddox and I love your books. Sounding Joy for sure. I'm like truly all of them. I was like trying to find a video before we jumped on. I'll try and find it and just plug it into the episode because I don't know if I can find it for you, which is sad. But we've just been memorizing a lot of the sweet little songs you've been posting as reels on Instagram for Memory Verses too.
That makes my heart want to explode with joy.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, we love worship, right? Like, thank you for praise and worship. And thank you for songs that are, you know, vertical praise. We love it. But there's something, obviously, we know this about singing a new song that is scripture, that it's doing something in our hearts more than just our phrases, our words, our rhymes could ever. And so we have just loved memorizing those and using them in needed moments. It's been so sweet. So that is something I'm loving. So her friends that are listening that have littles in their life, whether they're your own or you borrow them from friends or they're your nieces, nephews, like you'll have to go listen to some of these. And if I get this correct, you're releasing an album with some of these?
Yes.
Am I allowed to say that?
You're allowed to say it. It's happening this week. We announce it. It's the thing that people have asked me to do.
Yes. Well, no wonder.
For again, yeah. Which is really sweet. And also the ones on Memory Monday, if you want to sing with me. Yes. Every Monday on Instagram.
You have a whole highlight so people can easily go back and look.
Yeah, they can go back and find it. But when we found out we were going to be doing this, an extended version of the devotional I have, Fighting Words.
Yes.
I was so excited about that because I realized there were, which is crazy, it's 100 days of speaking truth into the dark. It's really just an invitation, which I love that you've literally taken this invitation, Rachel. It's an invitation for you to come into like a green pasture place with God and bury some truth in your heart. Mm-hmm. And so the content of the book is there for sure, but it's really God's word and God's spirit in your heart. It just is like sets the table for that to happen, which is such a joy. And they asked me if I wanted to do an extended version. And I was like, no, I feel like I said everything. And they were like, well, will you just pray? Because I guess it's resonated with a lot of people, which is so humbling and beautiful and sweet.
Yeah.
But when I read back through, I realized they were like some lifer verses for me that somehow did not get included. And I was like,
of course, what? That's always how it happens. I feel like,
how is that possible? So there's 10 new devotionals in the book that's coming out in April. But when they, you know, brought this up, it got me really excited because I was like, well, maybe this is a good season to see if I could more fully flesh out, you know, a 30-second scripture memory thing and see if I could put that into song, like put bigger chunks of scripture directly into like a full song. And so that's what we got to do. And it's called All of My Days from Psalm 23, surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And so I'm so excited to see, just to know that there will be a Spotify playlist you can put on, you know, that's just 7 songs of straight scripture. And you can sing it with your littles. And I've been singing my little 5-year-old, he has like fallen in love with the Psalm 23 song. And so I'm putting him to sleep every night with that. And there's just nothing better than knowing that you're bearing literal light in your heart and in your children's hearts. Just is like knowing that you're going to have that comfort, that balm, that light, even if the night gets really dark. And
amen.
What a joy to get to do that. Like to know that you're doing that with your little buddy is like the sweetest thing to me.
Well, I think like some kids learn from songs 100%. And that's he's so musical. And so even like when we were potty training, we could be like, okay, your little potty is like by the back door, blah, blah, blah. But if we made it into a song, thank you, Daniel Tiger, then like it just was so much easier. he'd be playing, he'd go, if you have to go potty, stop and go right away and just like run over to the toilet. I was like, okay, so your song.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, so if he does that with potty training, how much more could he do this with his life? You know, so like we will bury songs for things we need to remember. And that's me too, is if I'm ever in a fearful moment, the Lord is so kind to bring a hymn or a new song to my mind. And I'm like, that is his way of taking care of me. And so yeah, scripture is an extra bonus, obviously, and needed. Yeah. So
yeah,
thank you for doing this for us. I love it.
Absolutely. Yes. It's so fun. Yeah, to think about it. My hope is that it literally is, you know, sometimes I very intentionally did not write my devotionals very long because
I just got the time right now.
Like, you just don't have much margin, especially with littles. You're getting up early. And so it's one of those things, you could extend it and sit there for as long as you wanted, but if you just need to kind of get it in. But I love the idea that a song is about 3 minutes. And if you could just even turn that on and take a few deep breaths, my hope is that it is like, it becomes like a green pasture with quiet water for people, even if it's for 3 minutes and 12 seconds, to take a deep breath and recenter and reground and remember what's true. So what a delight to think that other people are already singing along, and then we'll continue to be so grateful.
Oh, well, I'm grateful. So even if it's just for me and my little Maddox and Ollie, it's just us. We're so grateful. It's such a gift.
So sweet, dear Rachel. That's what I told my husband. I said, honestly, with the way that Rivers is loving so, like, all of my days, I was like, the work is done. Like, if it was just for him and for me to, like, you know, pat his back and sing this to him every night, so be it. Like, thanks be to God.
That's right. But more, Lord. So yes, there are so many more kids that are going to be blessed from this too. Yes. Thank you, Ellie, for being obedient. So all of our friends listening that are obsessed, that want more, thank you for saying that. We are going to plug that in our show notes, all your children's books in our show notes. And you're going on tour with Lauren Daigle for a few of her tour dates. So y'all can find Ellie with Lauren. What a fun duo.
Oh, I love her so much.
Yeah, she's rad. And so are you. So just so grateful for time you would take today, fresh off of vocal rest. That is a gift, people. I hope y'all know.
So glad to be with you.
So in today's episode, I spoke of two stories that are some of my favorites in the Gospels, where Jesus meets with different people, is doing miracles, performing things that are crazy to prove that he is God and he cares about his people. One of them was the 5,000 that are fed. LOL that I said 4,000. I don't know what I was thinking. Anywho, the 5,000 people that were fed. And I wanted to read this to you just in case you haven't heard this before. If you have, let this just like sink in and be fresh for your soul, because it is true. I believe that these stories are alive, which means that they could speak differently to you today than they've ever before. So I'm going to read it out loud. This is Mark 6. I'm going to start in verse 31. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns to get ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a huge crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take 8 months and of a man's wages. Are we going to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to the heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves, then gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. So crazy to think that it took almost the disciples getting to the ends of themselves, Jesus taking them on a boat to a solitary place that wasn't actually super solitary. And I don't think this caught Jesus by surprise. I think he did this on purpose to make a point, as he always does. And he is so good to remind them that they did, in fact, need him. Then the second story that I spoke to was the one where the friends lowered their other friend who was paralyzed down on a mat in front of Jesus through a roof that they had torn open. And I'm going to read that one to you as well. Again, in case it's not fresh to you and or something that you just would want to meditate on. Okay, this one is coming from Mark 2, starting in verse 3. Some men came, bringing him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening on the roof above Jesus. After digging through it, they lowered the mat the paralyzed man was laying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I'll tell you, get up and take your mat, go home." So the paralytic man got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everybody, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Praise God. So cool that he not only can perform miracles for the people that we love, that he can, we can usher our friends to the feet of Jesus, but what a sweet treat to know that we can also be ushered to the feet of Jesus as well. Sometimes it takes our friends carrying us to those spaces and places. So I pray that you have those friends who can lower you on the mat when you need to be lowered, that you can feel loved and carried to the feet of Jesus when you're just kind of at the end of yourself and you need something that you can only get from him. So y'all, I hope today's conversation blessed you beyond measure. I feel like every time I sit with Ellie, my jaw is dropped. I'm just sitting there like, yes, more. I love this so much. Just soaking in everything she has to say, because it's evident that that sister has been with Jesus and she makes me want to know Jesus more and more and more. So I pray that that was just contagious to you too, that you carry out throughout today, knowing that you're loved, knowing that you too can sit on the mat and receive the help that we need in Jesus. And also that spring is coming. Spring is near on earth, but also in our souls too. We have a fresh start that could happen right now. So like Ellie said, go ring the bell, go remind yourself, go find some blooms that repeat the story of nature that God created, that we also get a chance to start over all again. We'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening to another episode with us. It would mean the most if you took 30 seconds and left us a 5-star review in whatever platform that you're listening in right now. It's one of the best and free ways that you can love on us. So don't forget that anything we mention in today's episode, from resources, products, and more, can all be found in our show notes at realtalkwithrachel.com. For more updates, behind the scenes, and fun chats, head over to Instagram and follow us at Real Talk Podcast.